Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Family Sunday. And Family Sunday basically means is that what the young people that are normally down below us on most Sundays in their classes and having all kinds of fun down there, they're up here with us today, and we're glad they're here. So how many of you from like ages 4 to 16 are here this morning? Just kind of stand up or let us know you're here. Raise your hands up. Let's welcome them. We're glad you're in church with us, okay? Thanks for being here. We're going to do this several times during the year, just a kind of a way to, for you to be part of the church. It puts a lot of pressure on me because I think someday I'm going to meet somebody who's going to say, well, you know, I went to this church and they took me when I was young and the guy was so boring. I don't go to church anymore. You know, I don't know what, how I was 4 years old and this guy was, you know. Listen, we are glad you're here, and you have a job. All of you who are younger, okay, just I want you to keep your eye on your parents this morning, okay? And whether it's your aunt or your uncle, your mom or your dad, if they look a little sleepy, just go, psst, wake up. You're supposed to be paying attention, okay? Just poke them a little bit. Hey, pay attention, right? And so, you know, you have my permission to do that as often as they need it, all right? So I'm glad you're here, and we want to do some things for you this morning. We're talking about the book of Proverbs. It's God's best advice. It's his wisdom to us, and he gives it out in short little packages that we all can remember. So hopefully this morning you're going to hear something that you're going to be able to think about this week and put it into practice in your life this week and in every year. So we put a little handout in your bulletin. Maybe you don't normally look at the bulletin, but pull it out today. And we've got a little quiz here for us, okay? And here's what I'd like you to do. You know, we all believe in Proverbs. We hear them all the time. I mean, my father used to say, let's make hay while the sun shines. Well, we never made hay in my whole life. I never made any hay in my whole life, but you know what he was saying to me? Come on, we got to get this done before the sun goes down. We got to get this done right now. And so we've got all these proverbs that we believe in. So I put a few down here. So would you work, all of you who are younger, if you'd work on all this, the parents can work and help as well. If you're younger and you fill these out and get them all correct, I've got some candy for you, okay? At the end of the service, I'll be back in the back, and if you show me your sheet with all your correct answers, I'll be glad to give you some candy, all right? Are you ready? So let's go to work. Mom and Dad, you can play too. You can help out. I know you're going to steal one or two pieces of the candy. So let's go. Let's earn your keep here. Let's go to work. I've got five little proverbs here. All you have to do is just fill in the blanks, complete the sentence. Let's write them in. Tick, tick, tick. Write them in. I bet you know the answers to these already. Maybe, you know, the reason that we know the answers is because people say these things all the time, right? And probably you know what, there. So you got a couple down. Let's go. Finish the last two. These little phrases remind us about what's true and help us stay on track. Okay, so are you ready? Here we go. Here we go. Number one. Yeah, it's always darkest just before. What did you write? Oh, well, but we polled some 6-year-olds, and they gave us the correct answers. It's always darkest just before daylight savings time, okay? That's the, you know, see, you're already in trouble, okay? What's the next? The next one is, don't bite the hand that... Yeah, I'm sure you understood. You thought that was right. This is, don't bite the hand that looks dirty, okay? Anybody knows that, right? Okay, a penny saved is? Yes, but not anymore. A penny saved is not much, you know? It's not going to make that make big of a difference in my life, all right? I don't know where you got this idea. Maybe Grandma thinks that's true, but... Then let's see. Children should be seen and not... Yeah, but today, children should be seen and not spanked or grounded, okay? Yeah, we'll try one more with you, okay? Let's see if you can get this one. A bird in the hand is... or two in the bush. But none of us have ever, how many of you have ever had a bird in the hand? Well, listen, if you had a bird in the hand, you would know a bird in the hand is going to make a mess on you, right? All right, anybody, I'm sure you could understand all that, all right? So how many did you get right? Okay, listen, no matter what, if you wrote the right answers or you wrote the crazy answers, bring back, I got some candy for you, okay? Just show me your sheet and I'll make sure that everybody gets one. Now, we're doing this because, you know, this is all part of our life. You know, we are always talking about these things, whether it's in sports or it's in school or wherever we are. And so this morning is part of our continuing series for how to read the Bible for all it's worth. We come to what's called the wisdom literature. The wisdom literature means to tell us what's true and to give us guidance and advice, to let us know the right way to go. And so in the Bible, there's three books that are often called wisdom literature. There's the book of Job, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Proverbs. Now, there are some sections of the Psalms that have been designated as wisdom literature that we can learn from. And then there are some people have said that the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs is also wisdom literature. But most people agree that it's Job and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. Now, if you know the story of the book of Job, you know, it's a story about a man who goes through a tremendous experience where everything that he has is taken away from him, and it's part of a test that Satan and God are carrying out in Job's life, and there's all kinds of things. It's kind of got a really dark side. I mean, you read parts of it, and you kind of go, man, what's going on here? And some of us have felt like our lives have been like Job, and Job kind of comes through all this, and part of the wisdom is to kind of see, what does life really mean? And what's really most important? And Ecclesiastes is the same way. It was written by Solomon, who was the king of Israel, the wisest man that's been known in all the history of the world. And Solomon kind of tells about all the things that he did to try and find purpose and meaning in life. And comes to his conclusion there in the very last chapter of Ecclesiastes. But in Proverbs, also written by Solomon, it's 31 chapters. Solomon wrote 20, the first 29, and then the last two are written by some other wise men, Proverbs 30 and 31. And so Solomon gives us his wisdom that he's collected. Probably as a young man and as a young king, he's kind of grabbing things people would say and things that God, you know, was giving to him, and he was putting them together in this collection. And so in the book of Proverbs, we have this collection of wisdom. It's probably one of the most accessible books in the Bible, and then instead of having long paragraphs and long stories, what you have is just like two lines. I mean, just pick one out. I mean, I'll just open Proverbs right here and just pull one out and see what will happen. It says, listen, this is Proverbs 21, 28. A false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will also be destroyed forever. Well, there you go. You know, if you're going to lie about something, you know what? It's going to damage you. It's going to harm you. It doesn't mean you're going to die instantly on the spot, but people who lie about things are, you know, are a false witness. It's going to ruin your life, and, you know, you'll be destroyed. So the Bible, the book of Proverbs just tells us, just grabs us and gives us these little things that kind of says, stay on track. And so, you know, if you haven't started reading the Bible yet, this is a good place to jump in. God gives you a lot of good advice, a lot of good wisdom, a lot of truth in very small packages. And you can take it and hold on to this whole thing. And the truth is that we need it because our life is filled with choices. I mean, stop and think about it. Pretty much everything that's happened in your life has been the result of a choice. Now, if you're younger, you might say, well, what happened? What we heard from Joy and Courtney, you know, we heard about choices that were made in their family. Remember Courtney, who I think probably should be preaching this morning after the testimony that she gave. And one of the most remarkable, outstanding things I've ever heard. Courtney, that was unbelievable. I can't wait to get a copy of that. I'd love to read that again. And again, you know, just to see what God's doing in your life and the power of what's happening with you because you're believing in him as a young person. And most of the Proverbs, in fact, the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs are directed to young people. They're directed to young people because young people make such serious and important choices. they decide who they're going to listen to and where they're going to go. I mean, you don't have to go very far. You know, you run into people whose kids are just moving from elementary school into middle school, and most everybody's like, I don't know what happened, but they're not listening to me anymore. You know, I don't know where they got this attitude or where they got this idea. We used to get along so well when they were younger, and now they just don't listen. And Solomon is saying, listen, when you're growing up like this, you got to listen to God, you got to listen to your parents, you got to listen to what's going on. Because the choices are going to be made around you, they're going to affect your life. The things that you're going to decide, the things that are going to happen to you. I mean, Courtney's father made a choice. Joy's father made a choice to not be there, and look at the long-lasting impact it's had on their lives. It doesn't mean that God can't help and intervene, but you know what it means to lose somebody like your father or your mother? And so the choices we make are super important. So God wants us to know. I mean, we're talking this whole series about how God delivers his message. He's writing to you so that you'll understand how important it is to put your trust in him. And the problem with all of us is that it's just so easy to make the wrong choice. The wrong choice is usually something that gives us immediate gratification. In other words, we can feel good right now, and we can take care of our problem right now, and we can get the pressure off of us right now. I mean, that's why we lie, right? Think about all the times when you've lied. Why have you lied? Not because you sat down and said, oh, it'd be so wonderful just to tell this outrageous story, right? You didn't sit down and you lied because when the pressure was on you and you knew you were going to get in trouble and you were going to get, you know, something bad was going to happen, so you just told something that wasn't true because it just reversed everything and people believe something that, you know, they believe what you told them, and so now the pressure's off, right? I mean, we often do it just to kind of solve our problems. We don't realize that what it's going to do to us in the long run, eventually our lives are going to catch up with us. Eventually our character is going to be marked by this whole thing, that people will know that they can't trust us because we keep lying about things. And so it's so easy to give in. Sometimes we know the promises that God gives us about a good life and about doing what's right. And in our own relationships and in our own relationship with him, and we say, oh, that sounds good, but that's a long ways away. And maybe for right now, I could just enjoy life, and then I'll still have a good life later on. And God says, no, you got to make good choices now, little choices along the way. People say, well, when I get older, that's when I'll start making good choices. Well, guess what? We make choices right now that if we're not careful, those choices will negatively impact our future. And so we got to figure out how to make the right choice. Choice. Yes, right. I'm going to show you a video about kids who have to make a choice. Very interesting, kind of a legendary test. And take a look and see if you don't know how these kids feel. Okay, so here we go. Take a look.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay? All right. I'm gonna go do something, and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good.
All right, so it's up to you. You can have it now, or you can wait, okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay.
Now, it sounds like you guys have been there, right? I mean, how many of us in our life have had experiences very similar to that, right? I don't have to, like, go on and try to convince you. I mean, we've had choices in front of us. We've known that if we would just wait or just do the right thing with what we had in front of us, that, you know, we would get so much more in the future. But it's so hard, right? So hard to wait and not just get to have just a little bit. And that's really what God gives us. God's not a being a spoil sport. He's not just messing with us. He's not just trying to make us miserable, but part of maturity is the ability to postpone self-gratification. It's the ability to kind of say, no, I don't just respond to what's in front of me. I think about what's best, what's right, what's good, what's going to be the right thing for me in the long run and in the future, and I choose right now to do that. That's wisdom. And that's what God talks about in the book of Proverbs. And so this morning, I'd like you to take the book of Proverbs and open it up. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the chairs right in front of you, and I'll give you a little help. It's on page 625. You can find the very first chapter of the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to look at that real quickly, and then we're going to look at a couple principles about how to apply these in our life, and you can take a look at it. There's several themes in Proverbs. One of the themes is the theme of wisdom, and it's really presented in such a way that it's always contrasted between the person who's going to be the fool, and the fool is the person who either hates God or ignores God, kind of does their own thing, and the wise man, the one who loves God and is trying to please God. And so the Proverbs often bounce back and forth between, what the wise person does and what the fool does. And how the fool makes a mistake and how it hurts him, how the wise person comes back to that. And the Proverbs also talks to us about relationships, talks to us about how we treat each other and how we respect each other and the trust that we have for each other. It also talks about our speech. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up trouble." Well, that's been true in your house, hasn't it? When things got a little tense and you let those harsh words come out of your mouth, it just made it harder. And if you just would have given a soft answer to even something that was said that hurt you, or something that was said that wasn't true or that needed a bigger explanation, a soft answer, calms things down, helps people kind of work through all of this. So it talks to us about our speech and the truthfulness of our speech and how we carry all this out. Proverbs also talks about work. It condemns laziness and says that the lazy people are going to get themselves in trouble. The famous verse from Proverbs is, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." You probably heard your mother or grandmother say that, right? She's basically saying, for all of you that aren't working, go look at the ant. Look how hard the ant works. Just be like him, right? Proverbs also, rewards and lifts up diligence, discipline, hard work, that there's a real benefit to all that. And then finally, it talks about success. And it really says that success can be measured in terms of our own good reputation, not that we're trying to impress other people or that it is most important what other people think about us, but that our life is really measured by what other people see in us, and what they see in us kind of shows, who we really are. And that success is also measured by our own moral character, by the choices and the decisions that we've made along the way in our life. Yeah, we've all made mistakes, but how we've either rectified those things, how we've even turned those things around, and how we can be counted on. Nothing better than to work with somebody and you say, "I know they're going to do the right thing. I can always count on them to do what's right, to tell the truth, and to do what's absolutely best." You got somebody working beside you like that, it makes your life comfortable, that you're confident, as opposed to having somebody that you go, "I don't know if I can trust them or not." And so God gives us that. And then finally, success is measured in terms of our own relationship with God. And so, Proverbs is really designed to give us daily guidance. In fact, some people have made Proverbs part of their daily Bible reading in that there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's 31 days in most months, and so a lot of people have decided that maybe they'll read part of the New Testament, part of Jesus' story, or part of the Old Testament, and before some other point in the day, they'll read one chapter of Proverbs, and I'd recommend that to you. That might be something for you to do over the next month or the next 2 months, just to let God's wisdom kind of seep into your life and make it available to you. So let's take a look at all this. Probably the key verse is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what does it mean by that? Does it mean that we're supposed to be afraid of God? Supposed to be trembling and cowering and worried about what God's going to do to us? No, the fear of the Lord means respect. It means being able to see God for who he is, for his power, for his love, for his presence in the world and in our lives. And when we know that God is here, that God knows us, God hears us, God sees us, that there's no place that you can go that you can be away from God or that you can be hidden from God, that God knows not only what you do, but he knows your thoughts. When you have that kind of understanding and respect of God, it's called the fear of God is in you. I mean, some people have said when they see things that are happening in the world, one of the questions that they raise is they say, do those people not fear God? Like, do they think that somehow they're not going to have to answer to God for what they're doing? That somehow they don't realize that God's eventually going to call them into account? God's going to call them into judgment and going to say, I'm going to straighten this out. You're going to pay for what happened here? I mean, the fear of the Lord is that respect that says we understand that he's here. We understand who he is. And that's the beginning of knowledge. When we understand that everything in this world operates underneath him, well, then we start living our lives as though God were there all the time, which he is. So that makes a huge difference in your life. Think about the choices that you make every day and the opportunities that you have to either take shortcuts or kind of, you know, bend the rules and do some of these other things. Things that you can say, well, I can do this and nobody will know because I do them when nobody's looking. But who's looking? Who's listening? You know, God, when we understand that, God motivates us and helps us to be able to follow him. So let's just have some fun. Let's turn to Proverbs 22. We put it here at the bottom of your sheet, if you'd like to look at it there, or you can thumb ahead in the book of Proverbs up to chapter 22. Hey, all my young friends here, how's mom and dad doing? Do they look like they're paying attention? Check them out here. Give them a look. Say, okay, you still with us, Dad? Here, let's go. So here we go. Proverbs 22. Let's read these six verses. This will be a good little test or a good little sample of Proverbs. Let's read them together, all right? Let's read them together aloud. Ready? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Start children off in the way that they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Well, those, you can kind of see the pattern here in Proverbs, these little two-line bits of wisdom. And so this morning we're going to take this and just use it as an example of how we can learn about how to read this and apply it to our life. So take your handout sheet, just flip it over. We've got some lessons that we can learn here from the other side. So we've grabbed a couple of these verses. The very top, it said guidelines to understand the Proverbs, verse 4 and verse 6. You can get this from looking at the other side, but I'll give it to you. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Now, this principle for all this is Proverbs are not a legal guarantee from God. In other words, there's a lot to be learned from reading this. But this isn't a written legal agreement between you and God to say, you know, if you're humble, then you'll be rich. Because, well, who can define what rich is? And sometimes, you know, we're thinking about riches in terms of money, and there's a lot of different kinds of riches. Doesn't even mean that we're going to be honored. It doesn't even mean that we're going to live a long life. And so it isn't a matter that somehow you could take this proverb and say, well, I showed humility, therefore God owes me so many years or so much money or so much honor. Well, that's not the point. The proverb isn't written for you to kind of use that and manipulate it to kind of go, hey, look at this. The proverb is to show us that, humility brings good things into our life. Humility, and fear of the Lord, causes us to go in the right direction and we'll have good prosperity. We'll have good achievement in our life. Even that second verse that's there, start children off in the way that they should go, and even when they're old, they'll not turn from it. You know, probably know that verse from some of the older versions. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. A lot of people love to hold on to that verse, and we should, because it does remind us that as parents and as aunts and uncles and as adults, we have a responsibility to raise up young people and to train them to follow after God, to set a good example for them. That even later on in their life, even after they've messed up or they've wandered away, that oftentimes it's God's Spirit still with them and he'll draw them back. But you can't use this as two things. One, you can't be angry and kind of say, God, what about this? What about my son or daughter? How come they're not, where they should be? I thought if I trained them right, I thought we had an agreement or a deal. Because your son or daughter have the same thing that you have, free will. They get to decide what they want to do. And you and I can't make any kind of arrangements to overrule their free will. Well, neither can we take the position toward it to like, well, the Bible says when they're old, they'll turn from it, so there's nothing more I need to do. Or we can stop being an example, or we can just give up and stop praying for them and stop really showing them Christ's love, because the Bible says when they're older, they'll come back. Well, God wants us to stay in touch. You understand how, we don't want to take these proverbs from God and kind of twist them around to make ourselves feel comfortable with them. Let's go down to the second one here. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Maybe you don't use the word prudent very often, but prudent means to do what's reasonable, to do what reasonable people would do. A prudent decision is a decision that you kind of think about what your various responses could be. And you think about, what would this person do and how would they handle this and, what's happened in the past. You make a prudent decision kind of based on a lot of information and say, this is the right way to go. Based on, how this has worked in the past, I've learned a lot through this whole thing. So it says, the prudent people who kind of think through their decisions, they see danger and they protect themselves. They take refuge in all this. But the simple, they're clueless. They're like, hey, whatever. they don't see the danger and they just keep on going. And then all kinds of trouble comes. So obviously, God is telling us here, listen, keep your eyes open, be learning all the time, and save yourself from trouble because you're watching what's happening. So you could say Proverbs must be read as a collection, okay? In other words, there's hundreds of Proverbs here in these 31 chapters. Don't just grab one and pull it out and say, okay, this is the one I'm following. You got to read them all together, kind of look at them and let them all speak to you, because often they support each other, they complement each other, and they kind of come together, they give you kind of a basis so that you can come up with a prudent decision. A prudent decision means to listen to all the truth and all the wisdom that's coming to this, kind of get a bigger picture and all that. Then it goes on and says, the next verse is the fifth verse. It says, but in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Well, our principle here for understanding Proverbs is that Proverbs are worded to be memorable, not theoretically accurate. In other words, the proverb gives us an image, gives us a memorable image that we can think about. And he's basically saying, look, if you go the wrong way, it's like you're walking down a street or walking down a path, and on this path there's lots of thorn bushes. And if you're going to walk through there, don't think that you're going to walk through without getting tangled up in some of those thorn bushes. If you've been hiking and you've been on a narrow little trail and you've kind of gone through, then you kind of say, well, I'll go this way, and there's some of those bushes that come up, you got those little thorns on them. You start down through there, and they grab a hold of your legs, your pants, and they're on your arms, and all of a sudden they're, pricking your skin, and you're like, well, what are you thinking, right? You're going to go down through this. Guess what? They're on the way. And so the proverb is basically using this image that we would understand to make it memorable and say, if you're going to go the way of the wicked, if you're going to oppose God, guess what? It's going to be trouble out there. So wake up, And the people who really want to preserve themselves, who want to follow God, they stay away from those kind of paths. They stay away from that kind of stuff where there's all these potholes and trouble with that. You get to pick your path. Pick a good path. Then the last principle I took from Proverbs 22:11. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Well, that's a good thing. How does that apply to me? Well, the principle here is that some proverbs need to be translated to be appreciated. In other words, we don't have kings in this country, so how does this proverb apply to me? Well, it applies because it says, when you have a pure heart, when you do what's right, when your speech is gracious, God's going to put you in a place of influence. He's going to give you opportunities to be with people who are in leadership, with people who have authority. He's going to give you respect and responsibility to be able to influence other people. So live right and pure, and speak in a way that's gracious and kind. And God will give you a platform to make all that happen. So we translate that and put that together. So why do we do this? Well, we do it because it gives us guidance. This morning in the baptisms, did you hear this verse from Proverbs chapter 3? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so look at what's being said here, this famous little proverb, which I would agree, one of my favorites. Maybe you ought to make this part of your favorites. And if you don't have a verse in Proverbs that you know in your heart, can say in your mind, this would be a great one to work on this week, and let it be part of the guidance system that God's given you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Here we are. You get to make your choices. You get to decide who you're going to lean on. You're going to get to decide, who you're going to trust. And God's saying, I'm here. I'm available to you. Do you want to follow me? Do you want my ways to be your ways? Do you want the guidance that I want to give you? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means every situation that comes up, every choice I make, I think about, what does he think? I'm sitting at the red light, the stop, the sign is there, it says no turn on red. There's nobody coming. Should I? Right? I mean, I'm a little bit late. Wouldn't that just help, right? Who's watching, right? Couldn't I get away with this? Well, sometimes we look at our tax forms and we know that the numbers there don't exactly line up with the real numbers, but we're thinking, what are the odds that they're going to audit me, right? And so we start, bending things. We say things to somebody on the phone that aren't really exactly the truth about why we didn't show up or why we didn't make it there on time. Guess what? In all of our ways, acknowledge him. God, you're listening to me. I'll tell the truth. I'll write the truth. I'll follow the laws. I'll do what it is that I'm supposed to do. If you acknowledge him, he will make your path straight. He'll deal with your financial problems and the money that you need. He'll sort it out in terms of you getting there on time. I mean, God will do this. This is what his promise to us is. So he gives us proverbs to give us a choice. We just have to look and say, God, you're leading me in the right direction. Sometimes I'm sure there's somebody here who's kind of said, well, gee, that's good, Jack, and we all believe that, but I live in the real world, and you don't always get to make such easy choices, and I'm not sure that all those things are really all that bad, and I'm not sure they're going to really hurt me that much. Well, it's like me going out, last spring we went out and we were going to clean up around the yard, and somebody said, whoops, that's, you know, don't watch out. That's all poison ivy right there along the fence. And I'm looking at it. Didn't look bad to me. It's green leaves. It looks like vines. And, you know, I didn't see those big three leaves. I said, no, you don't want to touch that. And they said, you either got to have gloves on, long sleeves, and even then, you know, you got to watch out. Because you don't want to be having that in your, because if you ever get poison ivy, you'll remember that all your life. How many of you have ever had poison ivy? Were they right? I mean, is having poison ivy some of the best days of your life? You know, and it's just like these little green plants there, and it'd just be so easy. Why do I have to go get gloves on it? I got to walk all the way back to the garage and find the gloves. Who can find the gloves in the garage, right? You know, I got to get the gloves on. I got to come back out. I got to be careful and pull all these things out and be careful where I put them and everything. I got to go do all this extra work, right? For all of you who had poison ivy, is it worth it to do that? Would you trade that extra 20 minutes to do that for the 5 or 7 days when you had poison ivy? Do I hear yes or no? Right. Anybody who's had poison ivy, right, would say, you don't want to go there, right? And so, I mean, this is how we kind of look at the choices in our life. God gives us guidance. He's telling us, put your gloves on, watch out what you touch, because it's gonna come back to hurt you. And put your hands on the things that are going to make you live, that are going to bring healing to your life. I guess it comes down to, are you willing to listen to his voice? God's given us his message. He's rolled out it here in Proverbs. He's put it in bite-sized forms for some of us that have ADD. You know, we can't read the long things. He's given you the smallest little message and said, follow me and follow my ways. Will you follow him? Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we thank you this morning that you don't leave us out here in the dark. You haven't just put us on this planet, given us all these things around us, given us this body and this brain, this mind to be able to do whatever we want. But along with it, you've given us instructions. You've told us that we live in a world that's corrupted with sin. It's kind of a spiritual bacteria that can get into our system and just start to eat us up. And a lot of us here, we've tasted it. We've felt the effects of it. We've made bad choices. And today, this morning, we stop and we say, God, you're right. And we say, God, not only you're right, but we need your help. So, Father, I pray this morning for somebody who's here, who I know is here, who's going down the wrong path, making the wrong choices. They've got attitudes and actions going on in their life that are, right now, maybe they haven't felt the penalty and the punishment. They haven't felt the negatives or the bad results yet, but they know in their heart that they're going the wrong direction. God, we're so thankful that you're willing for all of us to just turn around from where we are and to step back towards you and to follow, to put our feet in your footprints and to follow you, to hear your voice and to follow you. We thank you, Jesus, for your life and how you came into the world. None of us can turn our own lives around, but because of what you've done for us, you've given us a fresh start with the forgiveness that you purchased for us at the cross. And your Holy Spirit has come to give us the help that we need to make good choices. So this morning, we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge our disobedience, we acknowledge all the mistakes that we've made, and we ask that you would forgive us as you've promised to do. And we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit. We open our lives and surrender to you and say, we need your Spirit to guide us and to help us, to teach us wisdom, to let us know that you're always there for us. Not there to just bring judgment, but you're here in our lives, you're there to guide us and to help us. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We hear your word and we follow it. And we ask that you'll be with us. Lord God, we pray this morning in your wonderful name. Amen.